بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد respected elders beloved brothers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this opportunity and daily remind ourselves that the object and purpose of the i'tikaf is so that how a person you know can gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do those things that will please Allah and abstain from those things that will bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned and he said, and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said on one occasion, مَنْ يَأْخُذُ عَنِّي هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَاتِ Who will take these five lessons or who will take these five lines فَيَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ أَوْ يُعَلِّمُ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ Then he will practice upon it or he will teach it to someone and they will practice upon it. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was that companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who spent only 3 to 4 years with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam but he narrated most of the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why in the books of hadith we see the name of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, how many ahadith narrated by him. So immediately when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who will take these five advices and they will practice upon it or they will teach someone and that person will practice upon it. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu then said, Ana ya Rasulullah. He said, I will take it. Then he said, فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِي Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took me by my hand, فَعَدَّ خَمْسًا And then he counted the five, meaning he began to give him the five advices. And these advices are pertinent in our lives. And the very first one, which is very and most important, he said to him, O Abu Huraira, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ He said to him, O Abu Huraira, abstain from that which is haram, abstain from that which is sinful, and that which is wrong. Takun a'bad an-nas, you will become the greatest worshipper of Allah. Meaning, stay away from evil, stay away from wrong. You will be the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, you will gain closeness to Allah, you will be like a friend of Allah. That you will become a wali of Allah by abstaining from sin. There are many incidents and there are many stories, you know, in the lives of the Salaf and the people of the past, even in the lives in the time of Sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, where we can come to understand when, you know, people were doing certain things and they stopped that which they were doing. And through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them or forgave them for their sins. Or through that Allah gave them some assistance and Allah gave them some help. We know the very famous incident about the three people that were stuck in the cave. And, you know, each one began to say of a good deed that he done. One of the three of them said that I was able on one occasion to commit a wrong action with a female or a woman. And when that action was about to take place, she said to me, اتَّقِلَّ She said to me, fear Allah. And at that time, the realization came into me that I should not do this action. And that was one of the means or the ways of that cave opening. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ Abstain from that which is haram. تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ You will become the greatest worshipper of Allah. So while sitting in the i'tikaf, while spending this time, one must, you know, think over this and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He removes all forms of evil and sin, you know, from our lives. This is something that we must practice daily in our lives. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَكُنْ عَبَدَ النَّاسِ You will become the greatest worship of Allah by staying away from sin and all types of sin. You know, whether it is looking incorrectly at what we're not supposed to look, whether it is speaking incorrectly, whether it is walking towards sin, whether it is talking about sin, all types of sin we have to try and stay away from. Umar radiallahu anhu and Aslam, who was the servant, a slave of Umar radiallahu anhu, they were once walking in the streets of Medina. And this was the habit of Umar radiallahu anhu, to walk around and see if any person had a need or if any person required something. And he, being the Amirul Mu'mineen, took it as a responsibility, you know, to walk around and see what is the condition and what is the halat of the people. And while they were walking around, they passed by one home, and they could hear the mother and a daughter speaking. And the mother was saying to the daughter, and they were selling milk, so the mother said to the daughter, that why don't you mix some water in the milk? And Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar radiallahu anhu, he is not here. They were very frightened for Umar, obviously. Umar radiallahu anhu's nature was mutashaddid, you know, and so they were afraid and scared of him. So she said, Umar radiallahu anhu cannot see, he is not around. Mix the water in the milk, make it extra, and we can sell it, and we will get more money and more milk out of it. So the reply of the daughter was, that Umar is not looking, but Allah is looking. Umar is not looking, that Allah is not. Allah is looking. Sometimes we want to do something in our lives, we think I'm alone. There's no one watching me. I can take the cell phone, I can do something wrong on it. I can watch something wrong on it. But immediately we must think that you are never alone. Allah is with you. مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِن ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرْ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعْهُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كَانُوا. If there are three people, Allah is the fourth. If there is one person, five people, Allah is the sixth. If there is one person only, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that with that person. So this thought process and this mind frame that my Allah is watching me all the time. So no matter if I'm alone, if I'm in public or if I'm alone, my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. When a person has this thought process, then in his home, he will abstain and stay away from sin. When a person has this thought process, then in his business, he will have this thought process. How many a times a person is tempted to make money in the incorrect way? And people go for this. How many a times a person, you know, gets this deal, and he says, no one is looking, it's just me and this person, no one will know. But Allah is watching. So a person has to keep this in front all the time, keep this in front of their mind all the time. Umar says to Aslam, go next day and see whose home that is, and find out who that is. Aslam comes with the report. He says, this is the home of a mother and a daughter, and he reports to Umar radiallahu anhu, and she is not married. Umar radiallahu anhu gathers his three sons, and he says to them, and he gives them this report, and he says to them, which one of you are prepared to marry, you know, this woman? First two of them were married, they said they're not prepared, and the third son of Umar radiallahu anhu married this girl. And from there, we know that we must have heard the name before, from that progeny, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, one of the Khalifas, came out from that progeny. So when a person does good and a person stays away from evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only replace that with good. Sometimes it will go against the odds. Sometimes we think in our lives that we need to, you know, let me first make some wealth in the incorrect way, then I will clean that wealth. Let me do some wrong, you know, then I will make it right later. But with that risk and that chance, Allah could put us further into problems. Allah could put us further into, you know, difficulties. Allah can put us further into hardships. And that little sacrifice that a person undergoes when trying to do the right, you know, if person, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person the correct understanding, the person will then, you know, not, he will be able to withstand all that difficulties. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, one day was in a desert. He saw a shepherd. So he said, let me put him through a test. He goes to him and he says to him, give me one of these animals. He says, how can I give you this animal? It does not, you know, belong to me. It belongs to someone else. He said, no, your master won't know. Grant me and give me one of these animals. You can tell him it got lost. You can tell him it got stolen. You can tell him a sheep ate it. And give me one. So he was basically testing this person. And this person turned around. The shepherd turned around and said, my master won't know, but Allah. Ain Allah, he said. Ain Allah. It means, where is Allah? Means, what about Allah? So everything we do in our lives today, and every time we think of committing a sin, this must come into the mind, that my Allah is watching, my Allah is looking, my Allah is seeing. You know, for the youngsters, you know, playing with the mobile phone or wanting to do some sin or speak to one girl or do anything wrong, we must think about this. And that is why sitting in the house of Allah, spending time here is to focus. Spending time here is to take that out of the hearts and clean, purify and clean this heart and try and abstain from sin. So he said, اِتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Number one. Second advice, he said, وَرْضَى بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكْ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. He said, be content with what Allah has given you, you will become the richest of people. And today we all require and we all need this, that our hearts, our minds are not satisfied with what we have. We're always looking for more. We're always chasing for more. That is why that inner contentment, and that is why the heart is not at ease. We're always running around, you know, looking for more, and I'm looking at that person, especially in dunya. In dunya, we're looking at what the person has, and we're looking at what dunya he has, and we never get satisfied. Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us a very beautiful thing. He said, "Undhuru ila man huwa asfala minkum, wa la tandhuru ila man huwa fawqa minkum." He said, look to those who have less than you, then you will appreciate what Allah has given you. And do not look to those who have more than you, then you will be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you see those who have less than you, you will thank Allah for what you got. One very pious saint of his, you know, a sage of his age, they say, he was walking towards the masjid, and his niyat and intention for walking towards the masjid was to go and ask Allah. He was walking barefoot, and he was going to ask Allah that, oh Allah, I require a pair of shoes, so Allah, please give me a pair of shoes. And as he was walking, he saw a person with no legs, a person crawling on the floor. So immediately the thought came to him. He said, oh Allah, I am going to ask you for shoes, but you have given me feet with which I can walk, and this person doesn't even have feet. You know, so he thanked Allah. So we look at the less fortunate. We look at those that who do not have enough, or those who do not have what we have. And we will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not look at those, especially, you know, in dunya. When we look at the person who has more than us, then we are going to do certain things in our life, which we are going to maybe earn in the haram manner. Why? We want to reach that level and stage. We are going to usurp the wealth of someone. We are going to, you know, cheat someone. We are going to lie in that deals. We are going to do all type of things because we want to try and get to that position and that person. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look to those who have less than you. But in deen, we work opposite way. In deen, we look to the person who is doing the best and the most good, and we try and emulate and follow that person. Person we hear is reading a lot of Quran, we say, we can compete and want to be like that person. A person is following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the correct manner. We want to be like that person and follow the way that that person is following. So deen is opposite to dunya. In dunya, we must be careful. Why? In dunya, we will do everything incorrect in trying to reach that position and reach, you know, reach that place. There's a qissa, an incident of Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam, who was known as Luqman the Wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had brought some of his qisas and brought some of his advices. Allah mentioned it in Quran. Some say he was a Nabi of Allah. Majority of the scholars say he was not a Nabi of Allah, but he was known as Luqman the Wise. You know, the wise one who Allah gave him hikmah and Allah gave him wisdom. So one occasion he said he was working, you know, he was a laborer, you know, in an orchard, and he was working for this particular person. So on one occasion the master took out some fruit and he gave from this fruit to Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam to eat. So he began eating from this fruit and he did not say anything. At the same time, the master decided to take one piece of the fruit and he began to eat it. No sooner did he put it into his mouth, immediately he spat it out. It was extremely bitter. So he says to him, why did you not tell me that this is bitter? Number one, and how is it possible that you ate this fruit? An extremely bitter fruit. You ate it. So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam gives him the reply and he tells him. He says, that Allah and that Rabb who has allowed me to eat so much of sweet fruit all the years. One time the fruit was not bitter. I cannot be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Allah has given us so much in our lives. Allah has granted us so much. The mere fact that a person has good health, this money cannot buy. The mere fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted a person a good understanding, the mere fact that Allah has granted a person to breathe every day and wake up every morning and gives him the ability to walk and talk every day, these are ni'mats and bounties of Allah which all the wealth of the world cannot purchase. And this we see in our lives today. If a person is extremely ill, he can have the most amount of wealth in the world today. All that amount of wealth cannot help him. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us and gives us, we have to make shukr and be grateful and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said what? وَرْضَى بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكْ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. Be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You will be the richest of people. We are all looking for that inner contentment today. But how and where and in the manner sometimes we are looking for it is in the incorrect ways, and we are not looking in those ways where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept it. We are not looking in those ways where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us to look. We are choosing those paths and those ways which are incorrect, and we are choosing those paths and those ways which will, instead of bringing the pleasure of Allah, brings the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And another form of bringing this inner contentment in our hearts is by making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'inna al-qulub. Know well that the dhikr of Allah is going to bring you that contentment of heart. So he said this is the second advice. And then the third advice he says that be good to your neighbor. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ جَارِكْ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا. He said that a person who is good to his neighbor, and the good to the neighbors and those who's living around him, he said that you will, if you are good to your neighbor, تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا, you will be a perfect believer. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion, something to the effect, he said that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came so many times to instruct me and advise me about being good to one's neighbor to such an extent that I thought to myself that if a person passes away and he dies, the neighbor will even inherit from him. To that extent he taught us. And obviously in our communities, in our areas, sometimes it is a non-Muslim neighbor, or it is a Muslim neighbor who is not practicing upon the deen properly. It is more for us, and and we should be more cautious, and we should be more cautious and be good to them as well. The fourth advice, he said, لِأَخِيكَ مَا تُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِكَ. He said, love for your brother what you love for yourself. تَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا, you will be a Muslim, one who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today if we look around us, every person is looking that how can I take from the next person, instead of loving for the next person, or loving for my brother what I love for myself. I would rather love everything for myself and love nothing for that person. That is why ulama mentioned to us and say that this hasad and jealousy over a person is amongst the kabair sins. That today a mu'min cannot see the next mu'min or the next Muslim, having something. What he desires, what he wishes, what is hasad? Zawalun ni'mah. that I wish that that ni'mat and bounty must be taken away from that person. He must not have it, and I must have it. So that is hasad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to the effect that hasad eats away good deeds. And he gave the example like when a person makes a fire and he throws that little sticks in the fire, how it burns away in a few seconds. That's how hasad and jealousy, and having jealousy upon the next person, you know, that is how having jealousy on the next person eats away the good deeds of the person. We look at the qualities of Sahaba, and Allah grant us these qualities. You know, we speak about the 6 points when you go in Jamaat. What is the 4th point? Ikram a Muslim. Where you love for your brother what you love for yourself. In fact, it goes further than that. Sometimes you forego your rights to fulfill the rights of others as well. If we look at the lives of Sahaba and we read their lives, that is why it is important for us to learn this deen, learn the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, open this kutub of, you know, books of hadith and these books of stories of Sahaba, to learn their lives. Allah gave them such qualities, you know, that they did not just forego their rights, but they gave preference to others over themselves. This hadith is saying that love for your brother what you love for yourself. So if you love a nice house, you love a nice car, you know, you love to have a nice life, then you must love for your brother that as well. But Sahaba were those where Allah mentions in Quran, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. They even gave preference to others over themselves, even if they became poor and poverty became their lot. They were prepared to give away whatever they have and whatever they had in their lives. That is why there are so many incidents in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, when Muhajireen made hijrah from Makkah to Medina, then they came to Medina and they were known as the Muhajireen because they made the hijrah. They migrated from Makkah to Medina. They left everything behind. When they came to Medina, then later on these people of Medina were called the Ansar, the helpers of the deen. Why? When he came to Medina and he looked, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam paired them up in twos and threes. When he called him, he had no other relationship with that person except that he is my brother in Islam and we share the same kalima, la ilaha illallah. He said, I have 2 houses, you take one. He said, I have 2 horses, you take one. I have this amount of wealth, let us distribute it amongst each other. So that is why Allah gave them this level of ithar. Allah gave them this level, you know, of yu'thiruna ala anfusihim walau kana bihim khasasa. They gave preference to others, even if poverty became their lot, even if they were not able to use and take from that. A sahabi once came to the Masjid Nabawi and he was hungry. He did not have any food. Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not have anything to give him. He said, who will take this person and host him, you know, in his home today? This one sahabi, Ansari sahabi, stood up. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I am prepared to take him home. He comes home. He says to his wife, what do you have? She says, we have very little, you know, and the children are crying. I was going to put that on for them. He says to her, no. Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had sent a guest with me. So what you do, you put the stove on and you make it apparent to the children that you are cooking the food and they will fall off to sleep in that condition. When the guest comes, this little food that you have prepared, you know, put it on the table, put it on the dastarkhan, and we put obviously 3 plates there, and in that time they did not have so much lights like us, mashallah, they had little lamps, you know, and it was dark. He said, put off the lamp and we will make as though we are eating and he will eat the food. So they passed the night like that. And the next day when he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah sends wahi and revelation informing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam of the good deed of this person. And it is this ayah that was revealed, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. So all these things is a practice that we need to practice in our daily lives. Our deen is based on what? حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ and حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ. It is based on the rights of Allah, which is our salah, our zakat, and our pillars of Islam, our fasting, And all these things, when it has the rights of Allah, that the right of Allah has over us. Allah's right over us is that we have to make our salah. It is not a choice, or should I make it, or must I make it. It is the right of Allah upon us that He has given us this life, He has placed us in this world. We owe it to Allah that we follow His commands and we fulfill His rights. And the next is the huququl ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah. And, you know, this is what we have to make an effort upon, that how we do not usurp, how we do not steal, or how we do not take from the rights of the next person, because this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to allow on the day of Qiyamah for a person. You know, to when he stands in front of Allah, Allah is going to say, first you must sort out between yourselves, and then you can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you any good. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion said to Sahaba, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. He said, do you know who is a pauper? Do you know who is a poor person, an insolvent person? Obviously, if you ask us the question, and ask anyone the question, they'll say a person who has no wealth, a person who has no property. So they said, Al-Muflis fina man la dirhama lahu wa la mata. They said a muflis and a pauper and a poor person is one who has no wealth and he has no property. But Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he asked a question and when he taught lessons to Sahaba, and the lessons that he was teaching for us was regarding the level and reaching the akhirat, not the temporary things of this world. That is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on many occasions said, Mal faqru akhsha alaykum. I do not fear poverty upon my ummah. Why? Because poverty can lead to death and finish. But if a person leaves this world with iman, correct belief in Allah, and the kalima la ilaha illallah, no matter what he has of this world, Allah can give him the highest stages of Jannah. So, mal faqru akhsha alaykum. I do not fear poverty upon you. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what he said, I fear upon you that you will begin to compete in the world. And in that competition, a person will then begin to usurp the rights of others. You know, he will take from others. He will steal from others. That is why he said, Al-muflisu fina man la dirhama lahu wa la mata. They said, then he said, Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إن المفلس من أمتي يأتي يوم القيامة بصلاة وزكاة وصيام. A person, a muflis on the day of Qiyamah, is even a person who will practice upon deen. He will be following the, you know, the tenets of deen. But he will come on the day of Qiyamah and he spilled the blood of so and so. He took the wealth of so and so. He physically abused so and so. He verbally, you know, abused so and so. He will come on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let the person who he abused, or let the person who he usurped from, take from his good deeds. And if his good deeds are finished, then he will even turn his evil deeds into good deeds for this person. So that is, you know, the huququl ibad. That is why we have to, you know, constantly be making an effort on this, that we do not, you know, harm the next person. We do not, al-muslimu man salima al-muslimuna min lisani biyadi, min lisani wa yadi. Who is a Muslim? Who is a Muslim? Who is a one who submit to Allah? Who others are safe from his tongue and from his hand? So that was the fourth advice he gave. And the fifth one is, wala tukthiru al-dihk, fa inna kasrat al-dihk tumitu al-qalb. He said, do not laugh too much. Do not make too much jokes. Do not, you know, have this entertainment of laughing too much. Why? This causes the heart to become hard and dead. Tumitul qalb. He said, it kills the heart. It kills the heart. It makes the heart, you know, dead. That is why it is said, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never found laughing excessively. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to smile a lot until his molars could be seen, but not laughing excessively. So these five, you know, advices that were given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah give us the ability to practice upon this and bring it into our lives. All this, you know, whatever we hear, these mudhakaras, and you know, this, you know, what we speak about, is when we hear these things, the intention and niyat is, Ya Allah, those things that we hear, which by acting upon it, when we listen to your wadas, your promises, Allah, and we act upon it, Ya Allah, give us the ability to bring it into our lives. When we hear stories of Sahaba, when we hear stories of the pious, we should make dua that Allah gives us the ability to follow in that way. And when we hear the wa'id and the punishments of Allah, and what happened to those who did not act accordingly and act in the correct way, we must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to stay away from that. So this opportunity and time we're spending in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the time now to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cleanse this heart. Inna fil jasadi la mudgha. Idha saluhat saluha al jasadu kullu. Wa idha fasadat fasada al jasadu kullu. Ala wa hiya al qalb. Ala wa hiya al qalb. Ala wa hiya al qalb. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, there's a piece of flesh in the body. If this piece of flesh is correct, then the entire body functions correctly. But if this piece of flesh is something wrong with it, then the entire part of the body is corrupted. And he said, this is the heart. Spiritually and physically, if this heart is correct, physically, if this heart is sick, a person is unable, to do the activities in a daily life according to how he wants to do it, because he is suffering from a heart attack, or he has many stents in his heart, his breathing problem becomes difficult. Similarly, on a spiritual level, if this heart is not cleansed from all this filth and all sin and all evil, all types of wrong, then a person will not be able to function correctly in the actions of ibadat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we make effort upon this heart, and obviously a lot of tawbah. These are the last few moments of Ramadan, last few days of Ramadan, to make tawbah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Allah for forgiveness, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify and clean our hearts, and put the greatness of Allah in our hearts, and be conscious of all times that my Allah is watching me for whatever I do. So may Allah give us tawfiq to make amal. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنعمت علينا من نعمك العديمة وآلائك الجتيمة. اللهم لك الحمد كما هديتنا للإسلام وعلمتنا الحكمة والقرآن ووفقتنا للصلاة والصيام والقيام. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين يا راحم المساكين يا أرحم الراحمين يا حنان يا منان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا الله. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم ارحمنا فإنك بنا راحم ولا تعذبنا فأنت علينا قادر. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة بعد الموت. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وكل أعمالنا يا رب العالمين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان رب العرش العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعذائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. لا تدع لنا ذنبا يا الله إلا غفرت ولا دينا يا الله إلا قضيت ولا مريضا يا الله إلا شفيت ولا موتا يا الله إلا رحمت ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يضل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت فلك الحمد على ما قضيت. نستغفرك الله ونتوب إليك. نستغفرك الله ونتوب إليك. نستغفرك الله ونتوب إليك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. O most gracious, most kind, most merciful, most forgiving Allah, Ya Allah, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for the wrongs that we have committed openly, wrongs that we have committed in secret. Ya Allah, give us the understanding and ability, you know, to know that you are watching us at all times. Ya Allah, allow us to do those actions that will take us closer to Jannah, and save us and protect us from those actions, you know, that will take us closer towards the fire of Jahannam. Ya Allah, grant us Jannatul Firdaus and save us from Jahannam, Ya Allah. Protect us and save us from the punishment of the Adab of Qabr, Ya Allah. Save us and protect us from Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the Muslims that are suffering throughout the entire world, Ya Allah, make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Lift all the suffering, Ya Allah. Send your assistance and help upon them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are destroying them and attacking them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if Hidayat is not written for them, destroy them, Ya Allah. Destroy them, Ya Allah. Help the people of Gaza, Ya Allah. Help the people of Palestine, Ya Allah. Protect the Haramain Sharifain, Ya Allah. Protect Makkatul Mukarrama, Madinatul Munawwara. Protect Palestine, Ya Allah. Protect Masjidul Aqsa as well, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are weak, Ya Allah. We ask from you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, every person who is sitting in I'tikaf, Ya Allah, accept from him, Ya Allah. Allow him to achieve the objective that he is sitting for, Ya Allah. Grant him complete forgiveness, Ya Allah. Grant him afia, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make it easy, Ya Allah. Those who have left the world, Ya Allah, from the mu'mineen and mu'minat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive them for their sins. Forgive them for their shortcomings that they have done, Ya Allah. Make their qubur, Ya Allah, gardens from the gardens of Jannah, Ya Allah. Do not make it from the pit of the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant our parents afia, Ya Allah. Those parents who are alive, Ya Allah, grant them afia. Those parents who have passed on, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill their qubur with nur, Ya Allah. Fill the qubur with nur, Ya Allah. Grant them the highest stages of Jannah, Ya Allah. Rabbana, taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. Wa tub alayna, ya maulana, innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad, wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillah.